many different ways do you hear the word gone? You have a dog, it got out. You might come in and say, the dog's gone. If you've been to an auction, the auctioneer might say, going once, going twice, gone, sold to, and then whatever number or however that's identified. Then the older you get, maybe it's, where did the years go? They're gone. And I've heard several people, including myself, talk about, do you believe it's November already? Where did the time go? It's just gone. It's like speeding by us. And we use the word gone in different ways. I've heard a discussion, this is many, many years ago, about man's capability to blow up the earth. And the phrase was, and it would all be gone. And they were talking about nuclear bombs and the like. And then, I don't know about you, but it drives me nuts when a business is having a sale. And they're talking about a closeout sale, you know. Everything has to be gone, right? And going out of business and all that. And yet, they didn't change their name. The building still has their sign on them. They just have new products. You know, a different inventory. But it seems to catch our attention. There are times that we wish something was gone. The traffic, snow, if you've lived up north and it's been there for months, you might wish the snow was gone. But there's ways in which we use the word gone that does not fit the prophet. The words from God given to Isaiah. A little bit about this Old Testament reading. First of all, those personal pronouns, my and so forth, that's God talking. It's not Isaiah taking possession. It is God the Father talking. When he talks about his righteousness and his salvation, that's Jesus. Just so you know. You know, and I know we easily connect the dots. Salvation comes through Christ our Lord. But we still have a disconnect in our thinking. Because we are so concrete in our lifestyle. You know, we talk about education and child development, and we talk about concrete thinkers and abstract thinkers. But if you look at humanity, we're concrete livers. You know, we live with stuff. In fact, we have stuff we're living with that we haven't used for years. And we gather more stuff. And it seems like what Isaiah's talking about is sort of like it goes right over our head. Listen to the words of the prophet, the word of God. Give attention to me, my people. Give ear to me, my nation. For the law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out. And my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. You might have seen the ads in the newspaper. It says, clearance sale, all items reduced, all items must go. And the idea is that everything is to be gone. But in truth, it isn't. Gwen and I was walking by a store one day, and we knew that this business was shutting down stores. And they were clearing out some of their stuff. And we bought, it's an item that sits in our master closet, and it's a clothes rack kind of thing. It's a fancy wooden base, has a wooden shaft, and then it has two metal brackets that come up and sort of tee out. And you can set them straight across, or you can set them in an L formation, and we put hangers. Our master bedroom closet's 12 by 10. It was the middle bedroom, and we got plenty of room for this. But, you know, when the store sold it, they could say, it's gone. We've liquidated it, right? But in the true literal sense, it's not gone. It's at my house. You probably have a lot of stuff like that, where once they said, yep, we sold everything, it's gone. But that stuff sits in your house. We have a hard time with this word gone because the matter, the material, the atoms, the everything, it still exists. It's not really gone. But here's what the prophet is talking about. There will be a time when there's no air. There will be a time when there's no space. There will be a time the planets will cease to exist. There will be a time that there will be no rivers and valleys and mountains. There will be a time where there will be no nations and political entities and wars and rumors of wars and the results thereof. There will be a time when things will cease to exist. It won't be rearranged. It won't be reallocated. It won't be new borders and boundaries and new countries, not in the sense of the changes of our world today, but there will be a time when all that we see and all that we hold on to and all the many, many things that we treasure, they will be physically, truly, in the laws of physics, gone. Why is that important? Because in the days of the prophet Isaiah, and it seems to be the pattern for us today, we don't live that way. In the days of Isaiah, we think of possessions, and people gathered and hoard, and they didn't share with those in need. In the days of the prophet, the people ignored God, and if they did give God attention, it was more lip service. In the days of the prophet, religion got corrupted with really, really ridiculous kinds of thinking and other kinds of philosophies. And some were religious in their nature, other kinds of religions. And all of it got kind of melded together like a snowball. In the days of the prophet, worship was a mess, the temple was a mess, and the spiritual life of the people was a mess. And the call to repentance, it went unheeded. Nobody wanted to listen. Does that sound like today? It does, doesn't it? The human heart and the human condition has not changed. And so the word went out to the people of that time, just like it reminds us today. It is a living word, a true word. And it speaks to us about how we should focus and how we can focus by the power of faith in the promises of God. And it draws our eyes and our heart and our mind to God's plan. God's plan so that one day you will not be gone. Gone to everlasting judgment. Gone to eternal death. Gone to continual suffering. Gone to the place where there's gnashing of teeth and tears and cries of despair. You see, we often hope for the day when all of our problems will be gone. But if we stay focused as concrete thinkers, as possessors, if this world really, really, really ultimately is number one, matters, then we have lost what God matters to us the most. When he talks about his righteousness and his salvation, he's talking about the Son, Jesus Christ. It is one and the same. There are many places in scriptures that talk about how the Lord is our righteousness. Or in Romans, where it talks about how we have the righteousness by faith. That is, that righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, how we are covered with Christ in the forgiveness of sins. It talks about how that will not be gone. Governments and rulers and nations, cars, technology, cell phones will be gone. I can't wait for that one. Traffic on Memorial Street will be gone. Yes! You know. There are things I think we don't mind, but there is a part of us that lives as if this world is all that there is. And we forget that Christ and what he has done for us is the core of our life. So that when Christ comes again, and for those who are living and for those who have died in Christ, we will be joined together in the resurrection, and not simply unto a resurrection of an existence, but into a greater existence, and that is, we will be with God in heaven. That's our hope. Our hope is not in our savings. Our hope is not in our successful budgets that we meet each year. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our focus. And it changes how we live. It changes how we spend our time. It changes what we become passionate about. Because if that's truly number one in our life, and it's more than just the law, you know, thou shalt have no other gods. If it's truly the passion in our life because of a love of God, because of God's love in us, then it changes how we live day in and day out. And Jude, that second lesson for today, reflects that. Look at the action words in your bulletin in Jude, okay? Because it lists them. It talks about building, it's an ongoing word, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. Now this is by the power of faith you are being built up, but that faith is a living thing instead of just an intellectual thought. Praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, waiting. Now I don't mean waiting bored, waiting distracted. We've all seen that, right? You know, I've even seen it in the doctor's office. People get so tired of waiting, they don't hear their name called. You know, it's like their mind went elsewhere. That's not this kind of waiting. This kind of waiting is what you see when two people are talking and one's waiting to say what they want to say. And you can almost see it in their physical body language. They're waiting to jump in. And if you take a breath, maybe they will. It's like it's my turn to talk. It's waiting intentionally. It's waiting with expectation. It's waiting with focus. That's the waiting. It says waiting. And then it talks about for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. It's worth waiting for. It's worth watching for. And then while in that wait mode, in that intentional focus mode, there is having mercy on others, especially those who doubt, and then to save, that is to tell the gospel to those who don't believe, that you may be an instrument where God uses to, whom God uses to rescue. But you see, we're so concrete and we're so busy that we focus on our time schedules, we focus on our to-do lists, we focus on jobs and tasks and things like that. And sometimes, I think that's why all of a sudden we go, it's Thanksgiving. It's Christmas. And it seems like a blink of an eye, we'll be doing Easter. Where did the time go? And what happens in our human pattern of life is we're focused on the here and now. That's where the time went. Our time was spent looking at the things of this world, and it consumes our energy, it consumes our heart, and it consumes our passion, and it consumes our giftedness, and we don't have much left for the Lord. It's not that we don't believe in God. It's just that the things of this world, all that's really going to be gone, is treated as if it will last forever. And the prophet reminds us it won't. Now, you may have antiques like we have antiques. And it's not a comforting thought to think about those being gone, no longer existing. And I don't mean in someone else's library. I have an 1821 first American printing of Matthew Henry commentary, 4-volume set. I don't want to think about those just no longer existing. I received them by the pastor who baptized me. He had cancer, and when he found out that he was dying, and he found out that this kid that he didn't get to see very long, because we moved right away, but I was going to go into the ministry. I was starting college, and I received his library with the family's blessing. And in the library is the 1821 set. Maybe you have things like that are special to you. But here's the great news. It's not that what's going to be gone is so bad, but it's what's going to be revealed that's so great. Heaven, God in His full glory, Christ face to face. And in our condition, in this new creation, in the fullness of the glorified body, the Bible talks about what that is to be. And yet, it's hard to comprehend. No arthritis, no flu bug, no colds, no allergies, you know, for me. Think about it. You know? No sorrow. No bummer of a day. No weakness. No fear. No perplexities and puzzling and stuff that weighs us down. No anxiety. No worries. That's what we wait on. And that's what we look forward to. And as we gaze upon those things yet to be revealed, it's easier for us to let go of the things of this world. So that when it is gone, and I mean no longer existing, absolutely, we will be able to say, no problem. Because we will live with the Lord forever. This is the Sunday that's called the last Sunday of the church year. It's also called Christ the King Sunday in the old tradition. And it is a day when we celebrate that one day, it's a good thing, all of this will be gone. And things will be made new, as only God can make it new for His people, and that includes us. And for that, we give thanks. We give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Amen.